Hi again. This is the way I'm going to try to run this online lecture through my blog, is by embedding short audio discussions of me talking about things with a list of terms that you'll want to have and the images that I'm looking to illustrate. I will have already given you texts to read, online texts. That's coming fairly shortly. So that you'll know what to read before you listen to any of these audios. I want to talk about two images from the last discussion about Heracles, just as a kind of way to try this out. Now you see I've got some terms there about Etruscans, the word geoponica, which is a text I'm going to refer to in just a moment, and then the word galaxy. Okay. The part of the Heracles myth that I want to talk about here briefly concerns these two images. You remember that what I had told you about the apotheosis of Heracles, that at the very end of his life, after he died on Mount Oeta, Heracles was assumed into Olympus, led there by Athena, who drove him in a chariot. And I showed you an image of that from a vase. And you can see images like that in vases. There are a lot of them. But what I want to talk about here now is this Etruscan mirror that you can see, this one that's from Florence. It's really, it's from about 325 BC, we think. It's a very elaborate mirror. These mirrors are found all over the Etruscan world. The Etruscans lived in the area known as Etruria, which is in northern Italy, north of Rome. These images decorated the back of mirrors. We find many such bronze mirrors, and they very often have mythological scenes on them. We assume that most of these mirrors were used by women, and why they had these mythological scenes on them, it's difficult to say. But what you see depicted here is Heracles. You can see that he's sort of leaning forward to suckle on the breast of Juno, or as she's known in Etruscan mythology, Uni, and he's known as Hercle. So there's Hercle leaning on his club, and you can see that he's leaning forward and that she has her breast exposed. She's otherwise rather ceremoniously dressed. And this seems to be a ceremony. Behind them, you can see Tinia, that's the Etruscan Jupiter, pointing to an inscription. And what it says on there is that this is how Hercle was nourished by Uni. There seems to be people in attendance. So this seems to be, like I say, a kind of ceremony. And so I think that the Etruscans imagined the suckling of Hercle by Juno as a kind of adoption ceremony, something that happened when he came to Olympus. So rather than something that happened when he was a baby, it was something that happened when he was a full-grown man, and in fact, after he'd been brought onto Olympus. It's a really interesting and very elaborate kind of mirror, isn't it? You can see this kind of weird-looking angel down at the bottom who's holding an egg. You see this strange-looking satyr figure up at the top who is drinking some wine from a cup. Very elaborate, very ritualistic. Now, below that, what you see, what I've included there, is the painting by Tintoretto, The Origin of the Milky Way, which is in London's National Gallery. I love this picture. We talked a little bit about it. This is the more traditional version of the story. We find references to this story in various places. Probably Tintoretto knew it from a work called the Geoponica, which was a compilation of archaeology about plants and trees and things like that that was compiled in Byzantine times. What Tintoretto is depicting here, and we talked about this a little bit in class already, is you see Jupiter sort of swooping in. All of this is supposed to take place up in the sky. In effect, there are some people who wondered at one point whether or not it was actually depicted, it was actually meant to be displayed on a ceiling. I don't think that that's true, but you can certainly understand where they got that impression from. Here's Jupiter kind of swooping in. Hera is there, or Juno. She's on a bed, but that bed is supported by clouds. You can sort of see the clouds around it. We, of course, see the flying, all these various little angels, these putti flying around. There are Juno's peacocks. That's her iconic graphical attribute. In the background is an eagle representing Jupiter, who's holding that thunderbolt. Tintoretto's letting us know that he's a very learned fellow. And of course, at the very center of the image is Heracles coming to the breast here as a baby, not as a full-grown man. She is pulling her breast out of his mouth. She's very surprised. And actually, the way she's sort of framed in the picture is weird, isn't it? She's sort of leaning forward, but she's also pushing back. So a very elaborate kind of physical depiction of Hera's body. But from her breast is spilling forth the milk that then will form the Milky Way. And you can see the stars up there. I have seen this with my own eyes. It's a very beautiful painting. The colors are very elaborate, but the stars are remarkable because they're flecked with gold. Very, very beautiful. But what I really love about this, and what Tintoretto is getting at, is you can see from her left breast, of course, are the stars coming out. But from her right breast, some milk is spilling forth as well. This painting, which is about 5.5 feet tall, about 5 feet across, was actually larger. It's been cut down. What's been cut off, unfortunately, is at the very bottom. At the bottom, the milk from her breasts, which is forming, of course, the stars up at the top of the painting, down at the bottom was forming, was leading to the production of a number of lilies. For Tintoretto, who's drawing on this Byzantine compilation of folklore called the Geoponica, the stars of heaven are matched by the lilies of the field, coming forth from this same myth, according to Tintoretto, according to his reading of the Byzantine manual. I put a picture of some lilies down there at the bottom for you to look at. You can see that they are kind of star-like, if you can imagine a big field of them. But what Tintoretto, I think, is getting here is that Juno, of course, is bringing forth the stars and the construction of the Milky Way, as well as the lilies of the field, because in her body is this meeting of heaven and earth, of Uranus and Gaia, who, of course, she is a descendant of. So it's a very elaborate sort of allegory about the meaning of heaven and earth. And, of course, that gets across the idea of Heracles himself, who is a human being but has now become apotheosized. At the very bottom here, you'll see a poem by a woman named Barbara Ungar, which is about this very painting, called In Tintoretto's Origin of the Milky Way. I really like it an awful lot. I've written to her to see whether or not she would give us a reading of it. She writes a lot about ekphrases, that is to say poems that are about artworks, and I've given you a link to that. I'm hoping she'll get back to me and give me an actual maybe reading of the poem. I could read it aloud, but I suspect you can read it aloud just as nicely as I can. But if I get the actual poet to read it for us, I will send you a link to that. Okay, this has all been a big trial for me. I'm hoping that this will work. You can let me know whether or not this makes sense, because if it does, this is the way that I would like to proceed with the rest of the semester. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy wherever you are, and I'll talk to you again. Bye now.